Imagine being 13, uprooted from everything familiar, and desperately trying to understand why your mother left. This is Salamanca Treehittle's reality as she embarks on a cross-country road trip with her eccentric grandparents, racing to reach Idaho by her mother's birthday. As miles of American landscape roll past their Cadillac windows, Sal passes the time by telling her grandparents about her friend Phoebe Winterbottom, whose mother has also mysteriously disappeared. What begins as simple storytelling becomes a profound journey of healing, as Sal gradually reveals, beneath Phoebe's story was another one. The genius of this narrative lies in its layered approach to grief. We often find it easier to process painful truths through others' experiences before confronting our own. As Sal narrates Phoebe's detective work and wild theories about her mother's disappearance, she's unconsciously working through her own feelings of abandonment and confusion. The physical landmarks they pass, the Missouri River, Mount Rushmore, the Badlands, become metaphors for Sal's emotional landscape, each mile bringing her closer to the truth she's been avoiding. "Don't judge a man until you've walked two moons in his moccasins" appears as a mysterious message on Phoebe's doorstep, becoming the philosophical heart of the story. Initially, both girls dismiss this Native American proverb, blinded by their pain and confusion. Sal's judgment clouds her perception of Margaret Cadaver, the red-headed neighbor her father befriended. With her voice like dead leaves, Margaret becomes the villain in Sal's mind, the woman trying to replace her mother. Similarly, Phoebe invents theories about lunatics and potential murderers when her mother disappears, never considering Mrs. Winterbottom might have left voluntarily to address personal matters. The journey west becomes Sal's opportunity to literally walk in her mother's footsteps. When she learns Margaret lost her husband in the same bus crash that killed her mother, Sal feels deep empathy for her grief. The moccasin game with Gramps demonstrates her growth. Imagining others' perspectives has become a way to process her feelings without bitterness. The Winterbottom household projects suburban perfection that masks underlying reality. Mrs. Winterbottom maintains an immaculate home, bakes elaborate treats, and anticipates family needs with precision. Yet her quiet sighs when her baking goes unacknowledged and her question, "Do you think I lead a tiny life?" reveal a woman suffocating under invisible labor and unfulfilled dreams. This facade contrasts sharply with the Finney household's vibrant chaos, where footballs scatter across rooms, Mr. Finney reads philosophy in a bathtub, and Mrs. Finney naps on the garage roof. Phoebe's horror at their casual table manners shows how deeply she's internalized her family's rigid worldview. Through these contrasting families, we see how appearances often mask deeper truths. Mrs. Winterbottom's transformation upon return, sporting short, stylish hair, bold makeup, and fashionable jeans, visually represents her internal liberation. Her courage to reclaim her authentic self challenges both family and readers to look beyond comfortable assumptions about identity and obligation. What does it mean to be brave? When Sal removes a spider on her first day at school, her classmates marvel at her courage. Yet she reflects that while she doesn't fear spiders or snakes, she harbors deeper fears of accidents, death, and loss. When people expect bravery, Sal observes, you sometimes pretend to have it even when you're terrified. Throughout the story, characters demonstrate different forms of courage. Phoebe's determination to find her mother showcases the bravery of maintaining hope against painful reality. Mrs. Winterbottom's journey exemplifies the courage required for self-discovery, leaving behind a constructed identity to embrace authenticity after years of self-suppression. Perhaps most poignant is the quiet heroism of Sal's father, who continues living despite his grief. His daily struggles, maintaining routines, caring for Sal, rebuilding their lives, represent an unrecognized form of bravery. When Sal asks about flinching from touch, her father embraces her despite his greasy hands, demonstrating that true courage often lies in remaining vulnerable despite pain. The natural world serves as both setting and character throughout the journey, offering connection and perspective. Sal's deep bond with trees, rivers, and open spaces reflects her Bybanks upbringing, where natural rhythms felt more like home than suburban constraints. The singing tree in Bybanks, an aspen beside Sal's favorite sugar maple, symbolizes her mother's presence. After learning her mother won't return, Sal waits in the maple for the singing tree's song, but its silence mirrors her grief. At Lewiston Cemetery, Sal finally hears birdsong from a willow leaning toward the river, marking her acceptance. She isn't actually gone at all. She's singing in the trees. Nature provides not just comfort, but continuity, a way to maintain connection with what's been lost. The journey's landscape mirrors Sal's emotional terrain. The Badlands' jagged peaks evoke death's harsh reality, while Yellowstone's Old Faithful represents life's persistence despite pain, with Graham's "Oh, huzzah, huzzah!" capturing wonder amid grief. At the heart of the novel lies the experience of profound loss. Sal's journey to accept her mother's death parallels her physical journey west, with each mile bringing her closer to the truth she's avoiding. Through various characters' responses to grief, Sal's denial and anger, her father's quiet suffering, Graham and Graham's determination to help Sal find closure, we see there's no single correct way to mourn. Memory plays a crucial role in Sal's grief process. Blackberries trigger recollections of picking berries with her mother and witnessing her parents exchange gifts. These sensory memories both comfort and pain her, maintaining her connection to her mother while reminding her of what she's lost. When Mr. Berkway reads Longfellow's "The Tide Rises, the Tide Falls" in class, both Sal and Phoebe react strongly to its imagery of a traveler who never returns as the tide washes away footprints. "It isn't normal to die," Sal insists, revealing her struggle to accept death's inevitability. Through storytelling, Sal gradually processes her grief. The novel concludes with acceptance rather than perfect resolution. At her mother's grave with its maple tree engraving, Sal finally accepts that her mother isn't coming back. Yet this acceptance transforms their connection. Her mother lives on through nature, memory, and Sal's stories. In Bybanks, Sal, her father, and Gramps create a new family. Though still grieving Graham, they honor her memory while moving forward. Sal maintains her friendship with Phoebe, despite feeling jealous that Phoebe's mother returned while hers didn't. She plans visits, including Ben, Mrs. Cadaver, and Mrs. Partridge, creating a new extended family from fragments of loss. The novel's final image, Gramps with his beagle named Huzzah Huzzah, and Sal with a chicken and a singing tree, shows how we incorporate loss into our ongoing lives. The phrase, "and that's the way it is, huzzah, huzzah," suggests acceptance without resignation, celebrating life's continuity despite inevitable sorrows. Life isn't about avoiding pain. It's about learning to hear the singing in the trees even after those we love are gone, acknowledging that's the way it is while still finding moments to celebrate life's persistent beauty.